Welcome to Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morovati, spiritual healer, teacher, and author, and your host. And today and every day, my intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you. On today's show, I will be sharing with you a prayer, followed by my very inspiring guest, Linda Landon, who is a certified business and personal coach, speaker, and trainer, who helps professionals in recovery connect with their spiritual source so they can be authentic, intentional, powerful, successful, and happy. Wow. And she is also a master Toltec teacher. Linda integrates principles from New York Times bestseller The Four Agreements with her innovating process, dream shifting into her coaching, speaking, and training. Her website is www.lindalandon.com. We will be learning so much from this very inspiring guest who makes a difference for all kinds of people in business and personal. I'm grateful to have her on. But for now, I would like to invite all of you to join me in a prayer in the present moment. But first, let us take a deep cleansing breath in. And exhale with an ah, shake it out, shake it out, shake it out, ah, release all of your tension, yes, 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 you're safe and sound. Another deep cleansing breath in, yes, and exhale, ah, let it all go, ah, sound it out, yeah, yes, 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 let it go, let it go. And third again, breathe in. The presence of divine love. Yes, filling your whole being and exhale and relax. Allow yourself to relax into the moment, into the now. For we are creating in this moment. In the now is where the power of true creation with the divine, with all that there is, takes place. Between you, between our guests, between all of us, for we are all one, truly. In this moment, with gratitude and appreciation for all that we are, all that we have, all that has been provided for us, we connect to all that there is, to the oneness, to the light of God and the universe. We appreciate every single moment that we are alive, and we say yes to life. We say yes to life as we create this moment to be magnificent, healing, inspirational, transformational, a beginning, a new, a renewance in our life. With the information that we'll be receiving through our consciousness, through our guests, and from the oneness taking place. As we connect to love inside and out, as we choose to open up our hearts to what is, truly what is the joy of life, is the peace within, is the love that connects you and I together eternally. For in the beginning there was no separation, and separation is only an illusion. So once again, let us connect to the oneness, to the reality of what is being. You and I are one. We are all one. And the more we connect to this oneness, the more we create wholeness within us. Isn't this truly what we desire? To be whole? To live as wholeness, to inspire as wholeness, to make a difference as wholeness, to shine and illuminate as the light, as we are truly wonderful emanations of God, children of God, the divine, or whatever term you have for this magnificent source or your faith, the universe, allness, oneness, creator, isness, spirit, soul, whatever you have. Perfectly fine, for in reality, there is no separation. Thank you for being present with us. I invite you to stay attuned all the way to the end, because we shall be inspired moment by moment as healing takes place and awakening takes place within us. So, without further ado, I would like to invite our guest again. Let me reintroduce her again. Linda Landon is a certified business and personal coach, speaker, and trainer who helps professionals in recovery, and we shall learn more about what recovery is, connect with their spiritual source so that it can be authentic, intentional, powerful, successful, and happy. Again, her website is www.lindalandon.com. I'm looking forward to Linda.
Hello there.
Hi, Linda. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle.
Welcome. Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's an honor to be here, and good afternoon. It's a beautiful Friday.
Thank you. So there's so much to talk about, since you have so much to offer, and I really appreciate it. So where I'm going to start, if you don't mind, I'm going to start with the four agreements. And I'm going to ask you to tell us how you integrate the four agreements into your practice, into your coaching, into your speaking and training, into your workshops. How do you do that? I know that was a lot, but go ahead.
Well, let's begin with what the four agreements are. I'm sure many of the listeners have heard of this book. It's been a New York Times bestseller. It isn't now, but it was for about 6 years. And the four agreements are, number one, be impeccable with your word. Two, don't take anything personally. Three, don't make assumptions. And four, always do your best. Four very simple, common sense principles that have radically changed people's lives. And I don't know if I've mentioned this to you, but I had the privilege to train directly with Miguel Ruiz, the author, for 4 years.
Wow, what an honor.
Yeah, four weekends a month, people from all over the country would gather and be in his presence for two full days. Yes, it's been, you know, a wonderful opportunity for me. So I really feel like these agreements are part of who I am, and so they're easy to integrate into everything that I do.
Right.
And, you know, we can begin to talk about that. And what I want to say is that what I've found is many people read the book, they love it, it makes sense to them because it's so simple, even a child can understand the agreements. And inevitably, as we often do, we put the book back on the shelf and we don't practice.
Right.
It's like people come to me and they say, I still take things personally. I speak very harshly against myself. So my intention is to help people really live these agreements.
Right. Linda, just jumping in real quickly, I read this book about 3 years ago, and it's magnificent. I have it in front of me right now, and I encourage everyone out there to read it. It's easy to read. It's easy to understand. It's wonderful. As you said, four practical agreements. And I actually photocopied the four agreements and put it up by my computer, and I would look at it every day, and I would practice it. But as you say, after a while, I forgot about them, and then I had to retrain myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So if we would all practice these four agreements, what would happen in our lives?
Well, I think the biggest thing that would happen would be that we would not be afraid to be ourselves. The fear would be lifted and we would be authentic.
Hmm.
We wouldn't be worrying about what other people said or thought or did, and we would stay with our truth. And with that, we'd actually connect more deeply with other people. Our relationships would improve.
Right.
Because when you take something personally and someone rolls their eyes at you or says something that you don't like, when you take it personally, you go into a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in a reaction, we're not present. We're not able to hear what that person is really saying. Instead, we're pushing them away or we're defending ourselves or making up some story about what they meant. but there's no room for true connection.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why do we take things personally, in your opinion?
Well, I believe, and Miguel talks about this very eloquently in the book, he talks about something called domestication. And essentially he's saying that from the moment that we arrive on this planet, we're programmed. Our caretakers, our teachers, our siblings download into us information about how to be on this planet, how to, you know, before you're even speaking, we're given messages on how to behave, what's right or wrong behavior. We're given, you know, rewards when we act the way they want us to, and we're punished when we're not. And so we get conditioned to think and behave in particular ways. And I don't see this as anyone's fault. I think they're honestly trying to protect us from what they perceive as a very unsafe place. And then we take on these agreements that we make with our caretakers or the people who domesticate us, and we internalize them so that eventually they're running in our system unconsciously. We don't even know they're there.
Right.
And so we learn early on to take things personally. We believe that what people say is about us, and then we just do that. It's like we don't even understand that there could be another way because we've been domesticated and conditioned.
So for 40 years we're taking things personally because we've been conditioned, and then after 40 years we have to recondition our subconscious minds, right?
Yes.
And what is process? It's a process, right?
It's a process. And it requires practice. And it requires taking the fourth agreement, really applying the fourth agreement, which is do your best. You just do your best. You stumble, you take it personally again, and you go, ouch, and then you brush yourself off and you just try again. The fourth agreement is quite exquisite because it's about forgiveness and grace and being gentle.
I get that. I mean, if all of us just awaken in the morning and said, we declare, today I'm going to do my best. That's just my best. Even if I'm not feeling well, but I'm just going to do my best.
Yeah.
And there's no like self-judgment, right? Self-condemnation and self-hatred and self-punishment. What do you think about that? Is that
it's
true?
Lovely. And then what happens is that as you move through your day, you're easier on yourself and other people. And at the end of the day, you can say, well, I did my best, and not feel guilty or remorseful. I think it's a very important agreement because our best is always changing. So it gives us a lot of room to be human.
Right.
Like as you said, if you're not feeling well, it's going to look different than when you are feeling well. But there's a sense of ease and graciousness that comes with just doing the best that you can.
Right.
And, you know, for those of us who are overachievers, doing your best means not doing more than you can do, not overdoing, not pushing. And it also means not doing less than, because then you don't feel good about yourself either.
Mm-hmm. This all has to do with self-love, right? Listeners out there, listen carefully. Self-love.
Self-love and listening to the part of ourselves that always knows what's right for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Going within, being present with ourselves, right?
Yes.
Right. And then the first agreement, be impeccable with your words. Is this integrity? Keep your word to yourself and others? Is that what it means?
That is part of what it means. It's a very powerful agreement. It lays the foundation for all the others. So being impeccable means honoring your commitments. It means speaking kindly, using your words for healing, not harm. And that's especially important in how you speak to yourself. Because I've noticed that oftentimes the way I speak to myself is much harsher than the way I would speak to someone else.
Mm.
So you really start with yourself. You begin to notice when you're judging or criticizing yourself, when you're calling yourself names. Because what we call ourselves, we become. For instance, if I were to say that I'm incapable of doing this, then I become incapable. Mm-hmm. And again, as we're growing up, we're conditioned to tell ourselves things. For instance, I was taught by a mother who was suicidal and depressed that I would never make it in the world, especially as a woman, and forget about having a career. My job was to marry someone who would support me. So what I would say to myself were things like, I can't do this. I mean, I started my own business in 1983, but I had all this conditioning, and I would say things like, you can't do this. Who do you think you are? You'll never make it. You'll never do as good as a man. And of course, that was my reality for quite a long time until I woke up and saw what I was telling myself.
Right.
And so the language is so powerful. So being impeccable is really paying attention to how we speak to ourselves and others and shifting that.
Right, being conscious about our words, how we use it towards ourselves and others, because we're not conscious all the time, right?
No, we're not.
We're unconscious most of the time.
And a big key to consciousness is, how do you feel? If you say something to yourself and it makes you feel bad, it's probably a lie.
Right.
It's not impeccable.
Paying attention to our feelings, our vibration, is it high, is it low?
Yes.
Right.
And that's your guide to impeccability. Because when you're impeccable and you're speaking the truth and you're being kind, you'll feel the vibration of that. You'll feel the good feeling of that.
Right. You know, Linda and the listeners, sometimes mine manifests as pain. My unkind words, unkind words to myself manifest as pain. And when I'm experiencing the pain somewhere in my body, I'm like, oh, here I go again. There was an unconscious thought or a communication, a dialogue within myself that created this pain. Have you had this experience?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Miguel talks about this a lot, and also Eckhart Tolle talks about this in his books, and he calls it the pain body.
Mm-hmm.
And what's beautiful about this is that when we're not kind to ourselves, when we speak harshly to ourselves, our body responds. It says, ow.
Right. Ow, ouch.
Yeah.
No more, I've had enough.
It's giving us a message. The question is, are we going to listen and then feed it words that make it feel good, make it feel loved?
Right. Even if we don't believe what we're saying, right, we can still recondition by repeatedly saying positive words to ourselves.
We can, and I think it's very important when we're doing that and doing affirmations to inquire very deeply into what part of us still doesn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that unparsed, unconscious, unbelieving self, part of ourselves, will undermine the affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think that dream shifting process comes in that I've developed.
Beautiful. Tell us about it. It's a 4-step process. I looked it up in your website.
A 4-step
process to permanently solve problems by addressing and shifting them at their source. And you say the source is inside yourself. I love that.
Absolutely.
How you know, really give it out there. It's inside yourself. Don't look outside anywhere. Tell us more about that.
Well, just to give a little background, and then I'll explain it. I've had the privilege to study with many powerful spiritual teachers. Miguel Ruiz is one of them. Another woman that some of your listeners may have heard of is Byron Katie, who has developed something called The Work of Byron Katie. And I've done a lot of inquiry with many, many teachers. So the dream shifting process is an inquiry process. And I developed it because I saw that people were having difficulty applying the four agreements. They were coming up against their resistance, their negative belief systems, their unconscious thoughts, and they weren't able to apply them. So that's why I put this together, and I use this process with clients. I use it in my presentations, it sort of weaves into a lot of the work that I do. And it looks like this. Step one is to wake up. And the body, as you were saying earlier, is a great tool to help us wake up, because the body will say, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
It's in 12-step recovery, when we're talking about people who are recovering from addiction and alcoholism, the wake-up will be when they hit bottom. They finally get the message that what they're doing is not working. It's over. It just cannot continue. So it's a huge wake-up call.
Yeah, I had my wake-up call when I had my lupus 8 years ago.
Exactly.
And I mean, I'm fine now. I'm totally healed. But that's when I had my first wake-up call.
Yes.
Real. Yes, I get what you're saying.
That's beautiful. I've had many wake-up calls. Some people get one, get a series of wake-up calls.
Right.
One of mine was when I had a head injury 4 years ago, and I was for several days with a brain hemorrhage, and it was a huge wake-up call, and it was an amazing time. And it sounds like with the lupus, you really use that as an opportunity to embrace life.
No, absolutely. That was the biggest transformation in my life. I went really from darkness, and I really awakened to my true self and saying yes to life and going more and more deeper inside into myself. After that was one of the most major ones in my life. So, yeah, absolutely, there's a series of them.
Yeah.
So that's number one.
So that's number one, we wake up. Then, number two, we become aware. We become aware of what we're saying to ourselves about the situation at hand. What we're saying, you know, so it's about being impeccable with our word. We start to notice the stories we're telling about our situation.
Mm-hmm.
For an addict, they might begin to become aware of how they've been telling stories that life is against them. Life is hard. That was my mother's story. Life is really hard, and the only way out is to take your life.
Mm.
So she was not aware of her story. She never really woke up. But if she had become aware, she would have noticed that she's telling this story and how it was impacting her and the people around her. So the second step is becoming aware of what you're telling yourself and how it's impacting you and other people.
By the way, God bless your mom.
Thank you.
I have to say that. Okay.
A very powerful teacher for me.
Mm,
a very powerful teacher.
Linda, let me just take a moment to reintroduce you for our listeners that may have just joined in and they're like, what's going on? I'm Michelle Morovati, spiritual healer, teacher, author, your host for today. And we're speaking to Linda Landon, who is a certified business and personal coach, speaker, and trainer who helps professionals in recovery connect with their spiritual source so they can be, pay attention, authentic, intentional, powerful, successful, and happy. What else do we want? Her website is www.lindalandon.com. Linda, how can the people get in touch with you? I don't have a phone number.
My phone number.
Email address.
I'll give you both. Phone number is 310-202-6722. And email is Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at lindalandon.com, and I'll spell that, lindalandon.com.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And we're talking about her innovating process. What is dream shifting? You were saying number one is wake up, number two is become aware, and number three is?
So number three that evolves or just naturally flows from becoming aware is shift. And it's not like a shifting where you have to do something, but when your awareness becomes so acute that you're really sensing, feeling, experiencing the impact of what you've been telling yourself and the actions you take and how they're affecting other people, you naturally begin to see another way to be, another way to perceive. And with that, you shift. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, because we are our perceptions.
Yeah. It's totally that.
Isn't it true? Our perceptions. We can easily change our perceptions about ourselves, about life, about other people, about our mate.
When we are acutely aware of how we are in our previous perception, because we walk around, Miguel says we walk around in a dream. And it's our own, it's like we're in a movie, our own movie. And everybody else in our life are just characters in our movie, and we project onto them our perception of how they are, how they see, how they treat us, and so on. It's all one perception. So when you become very aware of your perception and how it's impacting you and other people, then you're willing and open to see a different perception, and then the shift occurs.
Right.
So it's a shift in perception, or as I say in my email newsletter, shift your perspective, and your life will change. So the shift occurs without really any having to do anything. And then from that, new actions become apparent to you. So the fourth step is to take action. And the action becomes clear when you've shifted your perception.
Taking action.
And then the action may include applying one of the four agreements.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, so from there, number four, take action and apply one of the four agreements, which were, again, be impeccable with your word, don't take things personally, don't make assumptions, always do your best. I'm going to put this up in my mirror again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so wonderful. And so how can the, so you guide people to go through this four-step process in your personal coaching sessions, or is this group?
I do it in all kinds of ways. When a client comes to me for coaching, clients come to me often because most of the clients I work with are business professionals. They either run a business or they're in management capacity, and they come to me because they're feeling overwhelmed. They're feeling stuck. They're feeling isolated. A lot of people who run businesses have no one to really talk to honestly.
Right.
So they come to me to help them unstick, move forward, advance their business. And what they discover through coaching is that a lot of what's getting in the way of advancing their business is something internal. So I will use the dream shifting process when they come up against one of those blocks, one of those perceptions that's holding them back.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And this dream shifting, is this something that has to be, I mean, like they'll come to you several times and they can practice this at home? Or how does this work? Is this something that they'll be able to do by themselves?
Eventually, they learn how to do it by themselves. They learn how to do it incrementally. Clients usually work with me over a period of time, generally 6 to 9 months to a year or longer. And so when they're working with me, we're doing a lot more than just dream shifting. But as they learn the process and they become more skillful at becoming aware, they notice that they start making shifts on their own.
Right.
It's great. And then there's nothing, you know, better than coming into a coaching session and hitting a block and having the assistance of, you know, a coach to get them through. Because, I don't know, I have found that, you know, a lot of us, especially people who are drawn to you and this kind of radio show, are already very conscious people. And we know a lot and we're aware of a lot, but sometimes we just can't seem to get over the hump. Have you noticed? So there's something really magical about being in the presence of someone who can mentor you through, which is the beauty of the work that, you know, we do.
Sure, because we're all here to support each other. Listeners, we're all here to support each other. It's the oneness. Separation is illusion. Oneness is light. It's authenticity, it's power, it's joy, it's love, as I know. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Sometimes we just need a mentor, someone who can be a clear reflection for us to really see ourselves and get what we need to get and then take an action. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the beauty and the essence of coaching. You know, most of the people I work with are already very smart, and they see what's needed, but they can't seem to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to your question, so I weave dream shifting into individual coaching when it's needed. And then when I go out on the road and I do workshops or presentations, I will weave it into a group process so that audience members get to experience it right then and there. They do the process with me, and then they move into break into smaller groups, or they pair up and they share what they've learned. And then, so while they're in a 1 hour to 2 hour to 3 hour training with me, they get to experience this process so that they can practice it on their own.
Right. Linda, so like I call it peeling the onion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you help them peel the onion, their own core? I mean, like peeling all the unwanted, all the limiting decisions and beliefs. And is this what basically you do in a way?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's as if we're peeling away until we get to the core, the essential, the essence of the person. Some people call it essence. We can call it our authentic self, the truth of who we are.
I also call it the true self.
The true self.
The true self. That's why I said I want to. My intention is to awaken you to your true self.
Yeah.
Your true self, and
it's
what you do.
It's layer after layer, and as we remove, the people we work with remove these layers, they access more and more energy and more joy and more just life force. Because it gets buried and held back by these unconscious thoughts and beliefs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Isn't it beautiful to know that we do have this power within us? We do have this power within us to heal ourselves.
It's absolutely there.
To forgive, to live in the present moment, to heal mental, physical, emotional, to heal dis-ease. We do have this power within us.
It's the natural capacity of the human body. And the human species. And the beauty of it, as you've been saying, is connectivity. So we each have it within ourselves, and in relation to another or a group, it's multiplied. We access it more fully when we're in the presence of people who are also doing this, or maybe one step further along in this unfoldment.
Mm-hmm. I love group gatherings and group sessions and group workshops.
Yes.
It's just so beautiful to share and just know that we're not alone, you know.
And I also want to, you know, this is a great time to talk about the first agreement again, because also, as humans, we will gather together in ways that support our unconsciousness and intensify our holding. For instance, when we're talking about impeccability of the word, one of the ways we as humans are not impeccable is when we get together and we gossip.
Mm. Yes.
So we can also gather in groups and spew poison on each other and people who aren't even there, which is the opposite of this openness and expansion. So part of what I like to do with people, and this is again the dream shift process, is help them see all the ways that they're restricting and harming themselves, say not being impeccable, or ways that we're taking things personally. So I ask people to look at ways they are in group gatherings, and do they gossip? Do they offer opinions without being asked? Do they tell stories about other people that are not necessarily healing and loving? So it's important to wake up and see the ways that we're not being kind and not being impeccable and not sourcing ourselves.
Sure.
In order to, you know, again, coming back to dream shifting, wake up and start to shift it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and sure. Being impeccable with your words, if anyone has just, you know, jumped in and is listening, we're talking about the book, The Four Agreements, by Don Miguel Ruiz. And you're talking about gossip. Gossip, my God, what a poison. How we can poison the whole world by gossiping.
I mean,
really, we can poison the whole world by just gossiping.
I mean, you turn on the television or you open up a magazine and media and, I mean, TV, you know, talk show hosts, all of it, and not to make it right or wrong, but everybody is spewing out their opinion and telling stories and making things, I would say, more dramatic and not necessarily conveying the truth. I mean, our culture thrives on this.
Absolutely, and so what's the point? There's people that need healing. They don't need to listen to this gossip, right?
So why do we do this?
Why? I'd like to know why. Out of boredom? Out of ignorance?
I'd say
attention?
I think so.
Out of lack of love?
I think we also gossip together because it's a way that we can bond. You know, you and I against the world, but, you know, against what's going on in the Middle East, against, you know, those bad people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a way we find that we can bond, but do we really connect together when we're gossiping?
Yeah, we're connecting on a different level. I have a better idea for our listeners and myself. Let's connect to each other on a more powerful, with the light, for prayers, for meditation, for laughter, for support, instead of creating separation with gossiping, right?
Yes. And also, imagine this. Let's say you get together with some girlfriends for lunch, and your habit is to gossip about other people or places or movie stars or what's going on in the world or whatever. That's your habit, and that's the way that you bond. What would it be like if you gathered together and you didn't talk about anyone who wasn't present? You just, you let go of gossip. What would you have?
Just pure, purity.
And maybe the possibility of having an honest conversation about what's going on with you, with that person in front of you.
Yeah. But you know what? I find that many people are not open to opening up their hearts out of fear of judgment, out of fear of being vulnerable, Linda.
Yes.
You know, and I just say, I invite you, I encourage you to just let that go, because, you know, what you have inside of you, I have inside of myself. I have, you know, we're all here to clear up our blanks, our issues. We're all here to clear up our issues, so let us just be open to clear together and just create oneness and connect on a true soul level.
And if someone is unable to give up their judgment, then what I do is start there. And I encourage them to really articulate and voice their judgment, and we explore it. And if someone is in, you know, with a group of people and they're afraid to tell the truth or be honest, because they're afraid of being judged, then, again, what I invite them to do is explore privately, what is that really about? And very gently get to the root of it without judging it further. I think this is so epidemic for people. We're afraid of what other people will think about us.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the, you know, enigma of taking things personally.
I like what you said. Excuse me. Before I forget, I just want to reconnect there. I appreciate what you said about going to the root of the issue, to the root of the problem, right? This is what you do. You go into the root, clean up from, take out the root, right? Clean up the root.
Because it's hard to just say, let it go. It's not authentic and real. You can't just let go of something that's got hold of you. And that's why I have people do affirmations with caution, because what's underneath that's really getting in the way? What's the root?
The root is the core of the issue.
Yeah.
Once we acknowledge it, bring it up to the surface, we can deal with it, and then it's gone, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or another layer of that onion has been removed, and then it may surface again at a deeper level. But that's the beauty of the dream shifting process. It's like to help people very gently and kindly get to what the root is, what's underneath all that fear or resentment or judgment or self-blame, whatever it is.
That's what I did to heal myself of lupus. I really had to go and deal with some things that I didn't want to deal with, but I did, and I cleared up issues, and everybody can do it.
Yes, it was such a calling forth for you.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful. It was like a miserable time in my life, you know, having two kids, and, you know, I was diagnosed when I was pregnant with my second child.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a very, very traumatic time in my life, but with faith and prayer and my willingness,
yes,
commitment to being healed, it was possible.
You embraced it.
Yes. Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yes.
I did not want to be a disabled mom, you know what I mean, or a wife. I wanted to be powerful. I wanted to be available for my children. And then 2 years ago, again, I had a life-threatening accident where I was hit while crossing the street with an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go again, another one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my commitment to being healed, to letting go and dealing with whatever issue was inside of me that may have created, caused, attracted that.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And the beauty is that when we're that open and available, when these kinds of occurrences happen, it's not traumatic. For instance, when I had my head injury, I was in the emergency room at UCLA for 5 days because they couldn't find a bed for me in intensive care.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who've been in an emergency room, it's 24 hours, lights, sirens, noise, hustle bustle. I mean, it's chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in ecstasy. I was totally peaceful and calm and grateful and so connected to the people who are serving me. I had a transformative experience because I'd already done the kind of work we're describing. So it was not traumatic for me. It was an opening.
Right. Would you say that you were present with what was going on?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Present and grateful to be alive and grateful for the person who changed my bedpan and the person who'd, you know, give me an injection and the internist who was overseeing my care. All of them, they were my angels.
Mm.
And I was able to be there because I had, like you have, already done a lot of internal shifting.
Mm-hmm.
So that when things happen, when life happens, we're more able to meet life on life's terms without going into a huge reaction.
Right, right. Thank you very much, Linda. I want to touch upon, actually, let me reintroduce you again. We're speaking to Linda Landon, who is a certified business and personal coach, speaker, and trainer who helps professionals in recovery connect with their spiritual source so they can be authentic, intentional, powerful, successful, and happy. I love it. She's also a master Toltec teacher. She also integrates principles from New York Times bestseller, The Four Agreements, with her innovative process, dream shifting into her coaching, speaking, and trainings. Her website is www.lindalandon.com. Also, Linda, you have Speaking Circles, a tool that helps people overcome their fear of speaking in public. God, did I have that going on? At age around 10, 11, I fainted in front of my class while I had to go give a speech. I just went up there and I looked at it and I went, phew! I just And ever since then, Linda, forget it. I mean, I had fear of public speaking. It was just like a nightmare to think of speaking in public. I had to work really going to exactly what you were talking about. Go to the root of the issue of the problem, bring it up, deal with it, to let it go, and now I can comfortably speak in public.
Yeah, and look, and you have this radio show as well, which is so awesome.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
you can take it.
It's like you have you're the kind of person who will take her greatest fear, and it's like, and befriend it, and make it your ally. So now you can be the thing you are most afraid of, a speaker.
Right. You know why? What's my purpose, what's my calling is that I want to make a difference in this world.
Yeah.
And for me to be able to make a difference in this world, I got to face my dark side or
right.
my shadow side or whatever, my lacks, my limitations, my disempowering beliefs, whatever you want to call it.
So making a difference in yourself opens up your capacity to be that for others, and then you're living and modeling this. And that's how we make a difference, is when we are the difference. And then we get to do this work.
And you're making such a big difference in this show. Really, every word that you're saying, every guidance that you're giving all of us is so valuable. It just came through my heart to tell you that.
And that's being impeccable with our word.
Mm.
So I'll tell you a little bit about speaking circles, because they've radically changed how I present into a very large group. I did a keynote a couple of months ago to 500 people, or even a smaller group. Speaking circles is a method that was developed by a man named Lee Glickstein up in Northern California. Lee was terrified of speaking in front of groups, absolutely terrified, and he developed this process, and now being in front of groups is his most favorite place, and he travels all over the world teaching this. And essentially, speaking circles is a format where people gather. For instance, I have speaking circles at my home office every other Monday evening. People gather, and they learn a very simple process called relational presence, which essentially is being with the person in front of you without trying.
Mm-hmm.
So they learn this, it's not even a process, they learn this way of being. And then they practice one at a time standing in front of the group, being in relational presence with members of the group, one person at a time. And what happens is their natural essential self emerges. And sometimes the person in front of the room will be experiencing abject fear. So they're with that in our presence. And as audience members, we're being available to that person with soft, available eyes. So they have this incredible sense of being seen and recognized and held. So in this format, people are able to experience their fear or whatever it is that's been in their way, and simply, it's almost like it melts away in the presence of an audience that's open and receptive.
Right.
So what happens is that they become more natural and at ease and spontaneous. And we don't do any kind of processing like the dream shift processing. It's a very, very simple format that works.
Right. You know, Linda, what you're talking about, I did a couple of years ago in a workshop. And what I experienced, I mean, I didn't know that this is the speaking circles. What I experienced with each person that I was being present with was just pure love.
Yes.
And, I mean, I know this was my experience. Some people out there may be experiencing fear, as you say. I saw other people crying. But with each person, I was just like, this is so beautiful. What's with all the fear? We're all one.
Yeah.
And just being present with the energy of the truth, of our spirit, of love, and our fear, which is a barrier and which you can dissolve, right? It can just be dissolved, is that...
Well, I would say with fear, it's just needing to be felt.
Right, right.
And then
right.
It finds its way.
And then it dissolves.
It dissolves, it transforms.
Right.
It's a doorway.
Wow, I really encourage this. Everyone listening out there, I really encourage. I mean, I didn't know that this is speaking circles. Oh, my God, it's really transformative.
The beauty of it, too, is that people come to these evening events and they learn how to stand in front of a group that's a very receptive, open audience with no fear. But what happens, this is the magic, is that they go back into the world, into networking events, or maybe a lot of these people are professional speakers, they'll go back and present to an audience of 50 or 1,000, and they'll present to an audience that's not familiar with speaking circles and doesn't know how to meet you, you know, in that way, but it doesn't matter because this person knows how to meet the audience from this place. So even if the audience can't reflect it back, the person who's experienced speaking circles is grounded in this. So they're connecting with audience members, and they're finding a way to speak from a truly authentic place, even when the audience members can't connect back.
I really encourage these listeners out there. It's so freeing. It's so freeing to do this and just become like lighter, you know. And it really, we can bring this into our personal relationships, right? It's not
absolutely.
Just once we let go and we accept and do all of that, speaking comfortably, overcoming our fear in public. But it's not only for the public. It's not for that only.
It's for every part of our lives.
Exactly.
I mean, what people are starving for is authenticity.
Mm.
So if you have a speaker in, you know, at a convention or someone leading a small group, everybody in that group or everybody in that large audience really wants authenticity. And that's what they get when someone's coming from this place. And it's just, oh, it's so uplifting and inspiring. And it also gives the people in the audience permission to be that. It's like, you're doing a life of service. So your authenticity is inspiring others to be that. So again, we're walking our talk, which is a phrase they often use in the 12-step recovery model. Can you walk your talk?
Right. I appreciate that. It's so wonderful, everything that you're doing. Before our time is up, I was looking at your website and I came across Love Your Life, Bold in My Face. What do you mean by, like, briefly, because we don't have a lot of time?
I want to touch on that. And I also want to just mention before we close a little piece about the recovery part, because I know we've touched on that. Loving your life, it's really what we've been talking about this hour. Loving, it's about being kind to ourselves, being impeccable with ourselves, stepping into our authenticity, moving away the conditioning, the programming, the limiting beliefs that block us. And with that, we are in love with life. We are one with life. And we love everything that it presents to us, even if it's lupus or a car accident or losing a loved one. It all becomes like an invitation to love. Is this making sense?
Absolutely.
Like
everything you say makes sense.
Yeah, it's all right with us. That's loving our lives. Not seeing any challenge or any, quote, bad thing as an obstacle. Seeing it all as an opportunity to see ourselves and grow. That's loving our lives.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. When we love our life, we love ourselves, we love our loved ones, we love God, the divine source, creator, light, whatever you want to call it. And love is healing. Love is the present moment. Love is all that there is. Love is whatever it means to you, right?
Yes. And it's an energy. It just is. It's in all of us, just waiting to be unleashed.
Let us all open up our hearts to allow this love to be unleashed.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Linda. I really appreciate, we all appreciate your knowledge, your wisdom, your guidance, your openness, your authenticity, your sharing, everything. We appreciate it.
May I just say a sentence or two about the recovery piece since we introduced that?
Quickly.
I also work with people in recovery from addictions, alcoholism, sex addictions, food addictions, you name it. This is a group of people that have made a spiritual connection to live lives of sobriety, and what I do is help them really deepen into a spiritual life so that they continue to maintain their sobriety and don't relapse. These people love this approach because they know that in order to live and thrive, they have to have a spiritual connection. So I love to work with people in recovery, especially people who run businesses or are going back to the workplace in recovery. So just wanted to mention that. Those people and also the professionals, therapists, interventionists, the people who work with these people in recovery, they're also people who really resonate with my approach to coaching and speaking.
Thank you very much. any of our listeners, either yourself, your loved ones, your colleagues, your partners, anyone that can use Linda's guidance, all of her services. So please, you can call her at, you can contact her at, right, 310-202-6722, or by email, linda@lindalandon.com, correct?
Correct.
Yes, and also her website, I encourage you to check it out. She has a lot of wonderful information, articles, and interviews. You can learn more about her, www.lindalandon.com.
And if anyone in the audience would like to receive an email newsletter, there is a place on the website where you can subscribe to that. And there are some sample ones archived there so you can see what kind of thing you would be receiving.
Thank you, Linda. Well, we're out of time. Appreciate you. Bless you. And that's Infinite Love Radio for this week. For now, I invite you to breathe in infinite love into every cell in your body. And breathe it out and give it to the whole world, for we are all one. And don't forget to visit my website, www.infiniteloveradio.com, and download free guided meditations and insights. And I invite you to email me at infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com for any comments, suggestions, or questions. Thank you for being present with us. We love you. I'm Michelle Morovati. Thank you. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Until next week, God bless.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.